Radio.
Making Sandwiches Like Pope Francis. A talk by David Jorna at the Australian Catholic Youth Festival 2015, held at the Adelaide Convention Centre.
Anyway, so yes, my name is Dave, and it's awesome to see so many faces out here, passionate people, young people, those who work with young people. So give yourselves a round of applause, by the way. Thank you for choosing this one to come along. All right, so, yes, my name is Dave, Project Hatch. By the way, we do have a prize for people who Insta tweets or FaceTubes. use Instagram or Facebook. Hashtag Project Hatch. We're going to select someone afterwards to give a little book to, okay? Cool. Keep that one on Project Hatch. Cool. Now, so Dave, I do Project Hatch stuff. By the way, I'm married. And what's your name? Who else checked? When I said I'm married, I think it's like, no, you're not. And had to check if I got a wedding ring on. Did anyone else check? Yes. Wow. Thank you. Awesome. So yes, I am married. Believe it or not, I am married. I've also got two sons, and they are called Tobias and Eli. And I love that noise. No, it's like an automatic response. When girls do it, it's like a car alarm. No, and the boys, they do it too. Yeah. Am I right? It's like oh. Like a bunch of cows having a moo out in a paddock somewhere. I love it. Now, this is the eldest one's Tobias, and that's Eli. And Eli looks like he's taking a selfie, but he's not. He's trying to grab my phone, and that's Tobias. And Tobias is now 5, just almost finishing prep, and Eli is 2. Who's got brothers or sisters? Who's an only child? Cool. Is anyone a middle child like me, and sometimes you secretly wish you were the only child? Cool. Who's really similar to your brothers or sisters? Who's super different? It's like, where do you even come from? Like, yeah, cool. So these two boys are incredibly, incredibly different. Tobias is really kind of polite and shy and stuff, and Eli is just in your face. Yeah, I love it. Now, who likes dogs? Who gets freaked out by dogs? Who loves dogs and gets freaked out by them all at the same time? It's weird, but it's true. It happens. Hey, down the back. We got one right down the back. That's awesome. That's Tobias. He loves dogs, but they freak him out. Reason why? When he was 1, about this big, just learned to walk, and we're at our friend's house, and they got a big black Labrador called Shadow. And Shadow was just playing, but came too close and knocked him flying. I'm not exaggerating when I say flying. I mean like somersaults in the air, and then bang, and then cry, and big tears, and it wasn't great. And literally this is the first time I took, Tobias and I took Eli for a walk to the corner store. And Eli was about 4 months old, Tobias was 3. Literally 100 metres after this photo was taken is a house with a big barky dog. Who is a house like that in your neighbourhood? A big barky dog. Maybe it's your house in your neighbourhood, yeah? So normally when we get to the house with the big barky dog or at our friend's place with Shadow there, Tobias cannot relax. He absolutely freaks out if there's a dog there. And when he freaks out, he cannot move. He might be playing, he might be running around, but when he freaks out, his feet freeze to the ground and he shakes uncontrollably. His hands go in the air and he can't talk. It's such an emotional moment for him. He cannot use words. Instead, he's just like, which is Tobias's language for, "Daddy, pick me up, hurry up, I'm freaking out." So I pick him up and I put him on my shoulder, and then I don't know why, but he tries to crawl away over it. As if that's going to help, yeah? Now, when we go, what happened next? I had no idea what was about to happen. But, see how he's pushing the pram, by the way? He's holding, not shopping trolley, thanks, yeah. See how he's holding it really, really high? I actually lowered it down for him to be normal height. He's like, "No, Daddy, put it back up there." Because that's the position. I don't walk like that, but for me it's there. And he always has to push the pram or the trolley. I love going to the grocery store with him, because I love watching the reaction of people as they walk towards us. Because what they see is my wife here walking, then there's the shopping trolley and Eli's in it, and he's just like, and then I'm over here, and the people walking towards us are like, "How's that shopping trolley moving? What's going on?" And they come behind, and then here's Tobias. Just pushing the trolley, always has to push the shopping trolley. Now, what happened next again, I had no idea what was about to happen, but we're walking home from the shopping centre. You can see little red flowers Tobias picked out for my wife, for his mum, and all that stuff. And Oh, who was that? Nice. Oh, good job, mate. Well done. Now, we're having a good old chat, and we got to the house of the big barky dog, and the dog started absolutely just going off, started barking. And all Tobias could see, because he's tiny, was his massive fence. And the dog behind it would have sounded like a big monster for him. It was just barking. And for the first time ever, he didn't stop and freeze and shake. For the first time ever, he actually kept walking. And he slowed right down, and he was walking super slowly. And his face looked really intense. And 5 seconds later, he looked up to Eli, and he said, still shaking, his four-month-old brother, he said to him, "You're okay, Eli. You're all right, Eli." Oh, cool. Now, and I went, oh, internally, as I melted, yeah. And so after 50 metres, like after walking, I calmed down from my, oh, moment, and Tobias stopped shaking. He was just shaking uncontrollably. Went up to Tobias and said, "What made you say you're okay, Eli?" And he said, "Because the big barky dog would scare him." The big barky dog didn't scare him because Eli was just going, having a great old time. By the way, I didn't stop and take a photo when the dog was barking. That was beforehand. And anyway, so he's like, "Eli, you're okay." He was gentle and strong. It wasn't, "You're okay, Eli." He was controlled. In that moment, I'm thinking, he's cured. He's not scared of dogs anymore. No. The next week, Tobias and I went for a walk to the corner store. Eli was at home having a nap, and we got to the house of the big barky dog. Dog starts barking. Tobias, absolutely freaked out again. The only reason he overcame his fear that day with Eli is because he took his attention off himself and he put it onto Eli. When Eli's not there, when the dog is barking, and maybe your barky dog is a different fear, if that makes sense. When the dog's barking without Eli, he gets scared. Then he gets worried about being scared. Then he gets nervous about being worried about being scared. Then he gets frustrated himself for being nervous, being worried about being scared. But when Eli is there, he gets scared. He cuts that off. I'll go look after Eli right now. Leadership has to happen from the inside out. For me, leadership's about how can I make internal changes to be greater myself so that I can help other people be greater as well. In that moment, let's be real, Tobias wasn't going, "I'm going to be a leader right now." No. But for me, that's what leadership's about. How do we enable ourselves to be greater internally so that we can help others be greater and do greater things? Also, where your attention goes, your energy flows. Who's heard that one before? Where your attention goes, your energy flows. Again, when Tobias was just by himself, just me and him, when the dog's barking, his attention's on himself and he's freaking out. But when he puts his attention on Eli, he can still take valued action, still move forward. There's a famous world leader, I'm sure you've got him on mind, who for me epitomizes these things. He does these things really, really well. He puts his attention where it needs to be, and he understands leadership comes from inside out. And of course, it's Pope Francis. Now, who knows what these guys are called? Swiss Guards. Awesome. Where's Pope Francis live? Who was going to say, "In his house, Dave"? I love that. So yeah, he lives in the Vatican, and the Swiss Guards, their job is to do this and protect the Vatican and protect the Pope. Now, has anyone ever seen the English Guards? Yeah, I nearly got one fired once. True story, I'm not proud. But in 2004, I was in London for a year, and I saw these English Guards, and their job is similar to the Swiss Guards. They're not as highly trained as the Swiss Guards, but I saw this English Guard, and I'm like, "Dude, I've seen you guys on TV and stuff. I need a photo with you." Now, his job is this. Can't sit down, can't talk, can't laugh, can't do anything, can't drink, can't eat, just do this. And I've walked up to him, and I'm here like going, like, you know, as Aussies do, like, "Hey, go on, mate, you good? Here, go on, get a photo with you, mate." He's probably here going, "Get off me, get off me, get off me, what are you doing? Hey, go on, mate, you having a great day, yeah?" So I got a photo with him, and afterwards, his boss came up to me, he's like, you cannot do that. You can't touch him. Almost, he goes, I almost need to fire this guy because I'm like, dude, sorry, it wasn't his fault, it was mine. Don't do that. Felt terrible. But, so the Swiss Guards are very similar to English Guards, but more highly trained, as I'm sure you all well know. Now, the Pope's first night as being Pope. He walks into his papal residence, his house. He walks in and he sees a Swiss guard standing there. And the Pope's like, you look really hungry. How someone could know someone looks hungry by looking at them, I've got no idea. But if anyone could, it'd be the Pope, right? He's got connections. Cool. So the Pope's like, you look hungry. I need to go make you a sandwich. So the Pope goes into his papal residence and he goes into his papal kitchen and then opens his papal fridge. I've got no idea if that's what they call it. Probably just a fridge. Opens his fridge and he makes a sandwich. Probably not Vegemite. Probably not even quite like that. But he comes out with a sandwich and he goes to the Swiss guard and he goes, here you go, this is for you. And what did the Swiss guard do? Probably this. The Pope's like, no. Honestly, you can eat it. Please sit down and eat it. Why would the Pope do that? He is the leader of like a billion Catholics all around the world. A lot of people would say he's got far better things to do with his time than to make a Swiss guard a sandwich. For me, this is what makes him a brilliant leader. But why would he do that? Who said good bloke? What's your name again? I have met you. Round of applause for please. Good bloke. I'm sure that's the correct term when you refer to the Pope as well. Maybe not, but that's okay. Good bloke, yes. I think it's the same reason why another night he came out of his, actually he was going into his papal residence one night and he saw another Swiss guard standing there. And he comes out in the morning and the same Swiss guard is there. And the Pope walks up to him and he says, thank you for guarding my residence all night. Have you sat down at all? And he's like, and the Pope's like, no, please answer me. Have you sat down? He's like, have you eaten anything? So the Pope walks across the road into Rome, goes to a coffee shop. I'm guessing it's not that one. I Googled Italian coffee shop. That's what I got. It's probably not that one. He walks into a coffee shop and he goes, excuse me, can I please have a cappuccino? Dress up as Pope. Can I please have a cappuccino? Could you imagine if you work in a coffee shop in Rome? In walks the Pope. Excuse me, can I please have a cappuccino? I'll be like, this better be the best cappuccino of my life. Here you go. And then the Pope walks back. Wouldn't it be cool if he came back with that? That would be brilliant. And the Pope comes back in. He's like, here you go. This coffee is for you. To the Swiss guard. The man who's supposed to be serving the Pope. The Pope's the leader of a billion Catholics all around the world. Why would he use his time? And his own personal money. He'd have people who could go tell someone else to go tell someone else to go tell someone else to go make him a coffee. But he chooses to do it himself. How come? Okay, quickly. Holy Thursday night, what happens? Last Supper, awesome. What happens at the start? Someone over here said it before. Washing the feet, fantastic. Where's the Pope go? Whose feet does he wash Holy Thursday night? Awesome. Who said prisons? He goes to the prisons. Fantastic. I love the reaction when I go to schools and I talk about this. When I say he goes to the prisons, they're like, whoa, what are they for? They don't deserve that. It's because of that exact reason that I feel he does go to. The Pope walks in and he washes the prisoner's feet. How come? For me, it's all about letting them know that you are important. And you are valued. Like how many times will these prisoners be told that? You are important and you are valued. I think that's why the Pope walked across the road, used his own money to buy a cappuccino for the Swiss guard, scared, probably gave the coffee shop people a heart attack. What are you doing here? And then comes back out, takes it to the Swiss guard. I think that's why he did that, to say you are incredibly important and you are valued and thank you. For me, I think the Pope absolutely understands and has a great belief in the dignity of others, the dignity of the human beings. And I think that's why he's such a powerful leader. He connects with the individuals, not with the group at large, if that makes sense. He does that too, focuses on the individuals. For me, leadership is about this. It's a process whereby an individual influences a group of individuals to achieve a common goal. Lots of research has been done around all different types of leadership, and this is what they came up with. It's a process whereby an individual influences a group of individuals. Who's heard that one before or read that one somewhere? So I'm seeing someone, I'm not quite seeing, hands right up. Who's brilliant? Good job, thank you. Okay, for this next bit, I need three brave souls, volunteers, to come up here. As they walk on up, by the way, are you sure you want to volunteer? There's a lot of people. Do you want to say hi? Yes. Yeah, nice. Don't you love the different responses? It's like, hi, hang on. Love that. Awesome. Okay, now, who loves seeing people get really embarrassed? Are you sure you want to volunteer? You sure? You sure? Cool. Some of you are like, that's just mean, Dave. Who loves seeing people get so... We're not laughing at them. That's mean. We laugh with people. Yeah. Who loves laughing with someone that get really embarrassed so much they end up crying, your stomach hurts? Then you go, how'd I get on the floor? Who likes that? Hands up. Are you really sure you want to volunteer? Awesome. Cool. It's not embarrassing, by the way. That was just from one. Who odd? Yeah, well, cool. So it's not embarrassing at all. What I need, though, is can we just get these balloons up to here? We need these balloons up there. So while we do that, what's going to happen is we over here have two chairs. And if we can put all the balloons down here, and we're going to go one at a time, okay? And what's going to happen is they need to try one at a time get the balloons from there through here. They're like the goalposts. All right? What's your name is stood up? What's your name? Did that help? You see better? Round of applause, mate. That's in, yeah, being like thinking differently. Good job. Thank you. All right. So I'll give you like 20 seconds each. Okay. And then we're going to swap, like tag team. They're going to swap over. All right. Can we have another big round of applause, please? Awesome. All right. Cool. Same shirts and everything. Awesome. Oh, Wollongong. Who else is Wollongong? Where are you? Awesome. Okay. Are we ready for this? All right, James, you're first. You just got to get them somehow from here through to there in 20 seconds. Okay, ready, set, go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Stop there. Okay, so now it's your turn. You can have 20 seconds. Go. That's 10 gone. 5. Gotta go through there. 3, 2, 1. You're up. 3, 2, 1. Go. All right. Round of applause, please. Thank you very much. So you guys may now take a seat. Take a bow first. Why not? Let's do that. Love it. All righties. Now, we've got Leah over here. And we've got Sophie over here. Can we have a round of applause for Leah and for Sophie, please? The volunteers here are doing an awesome job already, aren't they? Absolutely. Okay, so what's going to happen is I want to hear from some of you, and this time Sophie and Leah are going to try to run. We spoke about throwing before. We decided it's probably not a good idea to throw the microphone to you. We're going to run the microphone to you because we want to hear what you have to say, please. So someone, please, what was the purpose of doing that just now? Let's go nice and close to you, Sophie, just here with the hat and the glasses. What's your name, buddy? Could you stand up so I can hear and see you? Where are you from?
I'm from the Central Coast.
Central Coast. Awesome. Okay, what was the purpose of this?
That everyone's got a different way of doing the same thing.
Everybody's got a different way of doing the same thing.
Yeah,
Who was thinking the same? There's lots of people nodding. Who was thinking the same? Good job, and that's one of them, yes. Thank you very much. Round of applause for Kyle. Thank you, Kyle. Who's next, please, for Leah's microphone? Sorry, Leah, there's one person right in the back. Yep. With the white, I think it's a white top. Could you please stand up? Yeah, are you right down there. Where are you from?
Wagga Wagga.
Wagga Wagga. Which school?
I'm on today.
I've met you. Awesome. What was the purpose of doing this?
There was individuals working together to achieve a common goal.
You can read. Round of applause, please. There's still something I'm looking for. There's still something I'm looking for which hasn't been mentioned yet. There's still something I'm looking for. What's your name? And whereabouts are you from?
At Samaritan College in Whyalla.
Which college?
Samaritan College in
Whyalla. Samaritan in Whyalla. Who else is from there?
It's awesome. About 4 hours away from Adelaide.
Cool, cool, cool. So what was... I didn't hear it either. What was the purpose of this?
We'd pointed out amongst our group that it would have been good if one person got everyone to come along with them at the same time.
Oh, I think outside the box. Who had the same thought? Let's all do this together. Cool, that's a good one. And there's something else I'm still looking for. Someone else, please. Yeah, your hand went up and down and up and down and up and down. And the is it the Melbourne group? Like the really, really blue. It's the girl, it's the girl. Oh, yep, we go you. Now, you're next to James, but we'll go back. But yep, what's your name? And where are you from?
Sacred Heart Girls College in Melbourne.
Awesome. What was the purpose of this?
I think it was to show that it would have been better if they worked together as one group and talked to themselves about it as well, okay, instead of just doing it individually.
Sure, sure, sure. So that was another one as well. And by the way, I intentionally wanted them to do it one at a time. Okay, but thank you. That's a really good thought. That's perfect as well. And right down the very back, last one, right down the very back. Who's going to get the first? Sophie or Leah? Thanks, Sophie. Cool. Right down the back, what's your name? Okay, what was the purpose?
I think it's to do with when you lead, you don't lead a group as a whole.
Yep.
You have to address each person where they're at. You have to lead them as individuals, not as a massive group, because each person is different. They're individuals and there's a, yeah.
Spot on. Fantastic. Round of applause for Leanne, please. So, yes, we could have worked together, though I told him not to. We could have worked together. We could have done these other suggestions. And for me, the purpose is about we can't just lead an entire bunch at the same time. We could have if we taped them together, but you can't do that with people. So we needed to treat these as individuals. You give one a gentle nudge and it go backwards. You give another one a bigger nudge and it would go forward or backwards or whatever. It needed to be as individuals. Which is why I love the Pope's leadership model. The way in which he paid attention to the Swiss guards. It's about, I want to care for you. I want to show you that you are important. I love that. For me, leadership's about when you have a team, when you have followers. It's about, what do you need? What can I do for you as an individual so I can help raise you up? So I can raise you so that you can do great things with us. Maybe you need my encouragement and my words and my presence. Maybe you need my energy and my enthusiasm and my optimism. Maybe you need me to listen first and really listen and understand and then question. For me, leadership's about that relationship. It's about what does this person need, what's that person need, and what does this person need. Leadership is also strongly tied with who you are as a human being. Great leaders understand that their emotions, their behaviors, their actions, and their words have a massive impact on their followers. Great example, Nelson Mandela. Another great example, Barack Obama. Regardless of your thoughts about his politics, he understands that his physiology, his words have a massive impact. He's always about, yes, we can. Creates optimism and hope and confidence in this man. Have you ever seen him walk upstairs? I have never. He always runs. Have you noticed that? Yeah, he runs. Why does he run? Could you imagine if the president is kind of walking up here like this? Hi. He runs up. What's that tell us? He's confident, he's energetic, he's in control. He's even relaxed a bit. And he tells lots of jokes. Why does he tell jokes? I'm here. Yeah, cool. A hand went up just down here. The hand went up. Cool. Why does he tell jokes? Because it's the quickest way to connect between two people. Scientifically proven, laughing and smiling, The quickest way, because they kind of happen together, yeah? Laughing and smiling is the quickest way to connect two people. Smiling, what that does, if someone smiles at you like this, sorry about my cheesy smile there, Justin. When people smile at you, automatically things happen in your brain to make you smile back. It's a scientific, so thank you for that awesome smile. It's a direct connection, same with laughter. They've actually done a study on the top 10% of leaders across the entire world, and what separates them from every other leader, the other 90%, it was one thing. They do one thing three times more than every other leader, and that's smiling and telling jokes. In fact, even in the interview for this research project, they even made the interviewer laugh and smile three times more than the other leaders. Isn't that pretty cool? They absolutely get the impact in which their physiology has on other people, their emotions have on other people. Great leaders are emotionally intelligent. Great leaders are aware of their own emotions. They can manage their own emotions because of the other people. Great leaders can help build relationships, manage other people's emotions. I tell lots of stories about my boys, and I kind of apologize, but I kind of don't. Now, this is Tobias when he was about 2. I love that photo. He was about 2 then. And does anyone here have kids? Anyone have little kids? Awesome, or not little kids anymore? Anyone have little ones at home still? Cool. Tobias, when he was 1 and 2, he didn't sleep much. He had bad reflux and colic. He came 5 weeks early. Massive surprise. 5 weeks early. And because of that, he couldn't swallow properly and had bad reflux and colic, which meant he didn't sleep much. My wife and I weren't fit for human contact for the first 4 weeks after he was born. Was so tired. But I remember when he was 2, when he could start talking. And he'd wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, because apparently it's a great time to wake up, yeah? He'd wake up and I'd walk in, and Tobias would be standing there holding on to the side of his cot. First thing he'd say is, "Good sleep, Daddy?" I'm thinking, mate, it was great until a minute ago. But I'm like, "Yes, Tobias, good sleep, thank you." After breakfast, he comes on up. "Good breakfast, Daddy?" "Yes, Tobias, great breakfast, thank you." After my shower, "Good shower, Daddy?" "Yes, good shower, Tobias, thank you." When I come home from work, he comes running. "Good work, Daddy." "Yes, Tobias, good work, thank you." Now, you know when you like are with lots of people and you have to go to the toilet? It's like it's a human condition. We can't even say the word toilet properly. It's like toilet or bathroom. But you know when you can't let anyone else go know that you're going, yeah? So I was at a friend's house, there's people there. I escaped to the bathroom. No one knew I'd gone. I come back. I thought that was good. No one knew I was gone. Tobias, "Good toilet, Daddy." Quite successful, Tobias, yes. What do you say? I don't know. But that moment reminded me of the impact of your emotion on other people. When I walk in and Tobias is like crying and screaming and stuff. Like now, Eli, when I go into Eli, he's like, "I want mommy." I'm like, "Dude, I got up early for you. Come on. Where's my hello, Daddy?" "I want mommy." Come on. That doesn't make me feel as great as when Tobias is like, "Good sleep, Daddy." Tobias reminded me that from those days that when I wake up, I get to choose. I get to choose, who am I going to be today? What emotions am I going to put out there today? Yes, we can feel stuff inside. We can also stop and spend a moment and then respond and be intentional about who we give to other people. Does that make sense? Who we are for others. Tobias didn't choose that. He's not like, "I'm going to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning and then make Dad feel brilliant." He's not like that. It just happened for him. But it reminded me to do the same. Anyone ever been to Stanthorpe? Anyone been to Stanthorpe? No, cool. I love Stanthorpe. It's like the wine place in Queensland. And we were there for a whole week doing retreats in the school. And actually, I came down the last half of the week to spend some time with the team down there. And we were all really tired, or I was really, really tired. The last morning for the last retreat, it was year 11 group. And there was 3 of us on team, myself, Jasmine, and Chris. And I woke up, I felt really, really, you know those mornings? Just feel really tired. I felt really tired. I saw Jasmine and Chris. I'm like, "You two look full of beans." I've got to be full of beans for you so I bring you down. After the retreat day, we're driving back to Brisbane, 2-hour drive. And during debrief, I'm like, guys, I need to apologize. I was really tired today. I hope it didn't affect you. And Chris is like, nah, man, you were full of beans. I was tired. I hope I didn't affect you. And Jasmine's like, what are you boys talking about? I was tired. You boys were like bouncing everywhere. And because of you two, I brought myself up. I didn't want to bring you down. If we all had stayed where we were, like a 2 out of 5 for energy, the students wouldn't have had a good day. We wouldn't have had a good day. It wouldn't have been very helpful. But because we chose, we understood the importance of our emotions on others, we ended up having a really good day. And you know that fake it till you make it? For me, it's fake it till you become it. We faked it long enough that we ended up becoming it, which made a big difference for me. There was once this guy who worked in NASA, and he's mopping the floors. You might have heard this. Mopping the floors. And someone comes up to him and he's like, what's your job here? A bit obvious, he's mopping the floor, yeah? And the guy says, the cleaner, he says, my job here is to help put men on the moon. Anyone heard that one? He's just mopping the floor. My job is to put men on the moon. I love that. He is so in tune with his vision. He must have a great leader who lets him know the vision and how critical his job is in terms of allowing people to put men on the moon. Love that. Anyone been to Disneyland? Anyone want to go to Disneyland? Me. Now, I was watching TV one day and they were talking with the cleaners again and the people who clean the toilets. And they're like, what's your job? And they're like, our job is to make happy people. Our job is to make people really happy. I don't know about you, but I don't know if I feel happy or not by going to the toilets and with the cleanliness of it. But these people understand that by making these toilets super clean, we enable other people to have a great day, to be happy. Great leaders enable their team, enable their followers to understand whatever their role is critical in achieving the overall vision. And this comes into what we're talking about today is transformational leadership. It's about empathy and it's about charisma. And the charisma isn't about all the energy and stuff. The charisma is about your confidence and your competence and the vision in which you have and impart on other people. And so there's 4 parts of emotional intelligent leadership. And the first one is the vision. It's about enabling everybody in your team to understand how critical they are in achieving the vision, regardless of their role, how critical their job is in achieving their vision. That way they feel involved, they feel appreciated, they feel important. Another part with this is understanding the why. Like for me, why do people line up outside Apple for days and days and days and days to get the new iPhone when they could wait for a few days and get it like everybody else? Because they understand the why of Apple, which is think different. Dell and others are like, we make computers. Apple is like, we think different. We're about nice design and stuff. And by the way, we make computers and iPods and iPhones and stuff. We fall in love with those who's the Apple fans? We fall in love with, thanks for showing your Apple phone, yeah, not iPhone, nice. Just to prove it. We fall in love with their why, their vision. And that's the emotion stuff. And it's hard to put words around it sometimes. So great leaders are all about the vision. Imparting that on others, enabling them to be part of that. Next one is being an affiliative person. Bringing people together, lining up side by side in the same vision again, and affirming others. One of the strongest forms of leadership, one of the strongest, most impactful forms of leadership is to affirm people, one-to-one and publicly. Such a simple thing. The power of thank you. Affirming people one-to-one or publicly is one of the biggest forms of leadership, most influential forms of leadership. Another one is coaching. Leadership's all about how do we raise ourselves to raise others. It's about enabling people to see who they are now and who they can become and bridging that gap with them. So enabling them to see that they can be so much more and to coach them and help them get there. And it's also about being democratic. It's about enabling everyone to have a voice, to be heard, to be in there together, to share the vision, to have the ownership of what's going on. Emotionally intelligent leaders, again, there's 4. They're visionary, they're affiliative, they coach, and it's all about being democratic. It's about allowing other people to have a voice and to have a say. And there's one more really super quickly. It's all about service. I love Christian leadership. It starts with service, which is why the Pope also makes the sandwiches and the coffee and so on. In the army, they get this. The lowest ranked soldiers always eat first. It's not written up anywhere. There's no big signs. It's not at their induction. Congratulations, being a soldier, you eat first. It just happens. It's just known. The higher ranked you are, the further back in the line you are. If the highest ranked there, if they don't get to eat because they run out of time, the lowest ranked, they bring some of their food and give them to the highest ranked because of how important they've been made to feel. They look out for others as well. For me, when you are being a true transformational leader, when you're using empathy and that charisma, which is about confidence and competence and vision, and people flock to the vision, not necessarily to you, maybe to you, but for the vision. They flock to be part of that vision because it becomes an extension of who they are. They do it because of who they are and who they want to be. Not just to do a job, not just to volunteer. But they do it because it's an extension of who they are. They feel part of something bigger. Okay, so we start a little bit late to allow others. By the way, who lined up at the other venue first and you ran all the way up to here? Let's give them a round of applause because that's a good effort. Thank you very much. You can do better than that. Big round of applause, please. Thank you. That's awesome. So we might have time for a couple of quick questions, and then I've got one more story I'd like to finish on, if that's cool. Okay, one more Tobias story, if that's all right. Now, a little while ago, Tobias is about 4, and this is gross, I'm sorry, but he had a toenail fungal infection, gross thing. Now, sorry if I just grossed you out, okay? Now, the doctor said the only way to fix that is by cutting the nail. Okay, that's incredibly painful. The only way we could do it was to cut the nail. And it was so painful that it made Tobias kick and scream, but literally kick us and scream and cry. And it was awful. And sometimes it takes 20 minutes and I felt terrible. And this one particular day, he's kicking and screaming. Eli's coming up, seeing what's going on. My wife's in tears. I'm pretty much am. And we finally got it done. And I'm feeling terrible. Like, it's hurting him. I don't want to do that. Afterwards, I came to this couch. And I sat down because I needed to calm myself down. And I'm taking the deep ones in. And then Tobias comes up and he sits down beside me and he's still doing those ones. He's wiping the tears. He said, "Daddy, when I was kicking and screaming, did you still love me?" Yeah. And I then nearly cried. Yeah, going, "Matey, of course I did." Okay, the pain was about this much. He added a tantrum on top of that. Okay, which is what he was referring to. I get he's going to kick and scream and cry. Yes, I get that. That's deserved. But he added a tantrum on top of that. And I'm like, "Yes, matey, of course. Of course I loved you, even when you're kicking and screaming and having tantrums. Of course I do." That moment for me changed my perspective in who I want to be as a human being, as a dad, as a husband, as a brother, as a son, as a friend, as a boss, as a leader. That one highlighted like nothing else for me the fact that as part of being a human being, our human condition, we need to know that we're loved and lovable. We need to know that we are incredibly important to other people. We need to know that we are valued always. For me, being a leader, being a transformational, emotionally intelligent leader is about how do you enable your followers, your team, to understand at all times that they are important, that they are valued, capable, lovable, all of that stuff. And when you connect them with the why and that vision, people will come and they will flock to you, to your vision, to support the vision. They will own it and they will go above and beyond and they will rise above and beyond themselves, what can be achieved, because they know they're important, they know they're valued, they're capable, and because it connects with themselves and it becomes an extension of who they are. And I love that because as Christians, as Catholics, connecting that with service, grounding that in our faith, that becomes incredibly powerful. Thank you.
That was David Jorna with Making Sandwiches Like Pope Francis. This talk was recorded at the Australian Catholic Youth Festival 2015 and is a collaboration between XT3 and Cradio. And for more from the Australian Catholic Youth Festival, and for more talks, interviews and shows, visit cradio.org.au.